What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Girl Gains Podcast. I'm Amber P.
I'm Alexis Adams.
And for today's episode, ladies, we are talking about the positives and hardships of bodybuilding. But first, I want to get into Alexis's weekend because she went down to Florida for the women's workshop. So give us all the deets. Tell us all about it.
So I wasn't like completely sure what to expect. I personally went more so to like stay up to date on what the judges want and like so I can give that to my girls and all that stuff. So it was really cool. The thing that I appreciated is the schedule. It was like tight. Like we needed to stay on the programming, but it wasn't a crazy early start time. It ended at an appropriate time so that you could, like, if you're in prep, you could get your stuff done. If you're going to dinner, you could go to dinner. Like, you could do, it wasn't like start at 6 a.m., end at 7, you know?
like a show.
Yeah. Like, you could wake up at 6, which is reasonable. And then, yes. Like, it started, it was from 8 to 5. So I appreciated that because it was, like, plenty of information, like nothing was skimped on, but it also was reasonable, so it didn't take your entire Saturday. And then that way, like if you needed to fly home Saturday evening, you could. It was a very good setup as far as like the schedule. Also, pause. Oliver is joining us today.
Oliver, he, the boys are with us.
Is nosy. He just wants to look out the window.
Yep, I've got Rocket right here. The Rocket. Boys are hanging out. He's like, my mom is outside. So he's like, what's my Graham doing? So, oh, she just came in. Now he's leaving. He's like, all right, gotta go. Like,
nobody's petting me, so I'm done. there were like breakout sessions. So it started with like, it was a long day. So let me rewind 2 days ago. It started like with mingling. There was a coffee bar. Each of the pros that were like there to help talked a little bit. There were also pros like I was just there to attend it. But they went through each women's division. There was a stage, so they went through each women's division of what they do want with posing and what they do not want with posing, which was very beneficial. And like Attila did, or Attila, I've been saying it wrong.
Yeah. That Portuguese.
But she did bikini and wellness. So I think it helped. One, she said some things that I hadn't thought of. And two, she reiterated a lot of things that girls don't freaking listen to. So I hope you watched the, like, there was a, like a live stream and I'm pretty sure you can go back and watch it. So if you go to the NPC Women's Workshop Instagram, the link is there. And it'll be really helpful for you to see what they do want and what they don't want. They don't want crazy arms. They don't want crazy hair flips, especially in like your mandatories. And then there were breakout sessions for that you could choose from. So, like, some of them went over mental health. There was one for master's competitors. There was one for, like, post-show. And it was nice to hear it from, like, Sid Gillen and Andrea Shaw of, like, what they used to do post-show and what they do now. So, like, when we say a lot of people do the whole, like, gain 20 pounds in a week, which I don't recommend because it's also dangerous. But a lot of people have done that. Like, we are all human. But in order to reach that level, at some point, that stopped occurring. And they found a way to reverse properly. And, like, so they went over all of that. And there was something for everyone there, which was cool. And the goodie bags, like, you guys know, I've talked about Junior Nationals. Sandy co-promotes that show, and it's very much about the athletes. He's been very cuddly this morning. Oh,
he needs his mom.
You want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, Oliver. This is our mascot.
Strike a pose.
He's so cute.
There was something for everyone, and the like. Oh, Sandy is very much about the athletes with her shows, with any events that she puts on. And these freaking, and she like the NPC like office, the NPC and the IFBB help fund it. So it's free for all of the attendees. You just have to get there. And it's in a different location every year. But Sandy plans all of it. So she had donations in these goodie bags from tons of companies, like full size products, from Evogen. There were some like Lipoxy derm, like topical, I don't know the word for it.
I'm sorry, if you're listening, you can't see. Oliver is like all up on the
Oh my
plexus
gosh,
right now.
yes.
That's
That's why there's a
hilarious.
little bit of like rustling around because
Yeah,
he
she's
used to
just
be in my
wrestling with
lap.
Oliver right
He's
now.
so, if you're watching, this is how he likes to hang out. Like some feet on the floor, some feet in
Yep.
your lap. He loves the camera. So, yep. So there were like these, so I don't know the word for it. The topical, like, it's the Lipoxy Derm brand version of Vasoburn that you put on like for
Okay.
cardio. So, but
Yeah.
they were like full size bottles. So I had to check my bag. That's a whole different story. But like it was just very well put on. You can tell Sandy puts a lot into her athletes. You know, if you've been in front of her and you've gotten state feedback from her backstage that she cares. And this was just another extension of that. So they will like announce the save the date soon, I'm sure, for the 2025 version. It's usually in January. It's a different location every year. So I think last year was like Arizona. This year is in Florida. I don't know where it'll be next year, but they'll put the save the date out and the location. And then once you have to register for it, because there's only so many seats, but it's like they can house up to like 500 girls. So there's plenty, but it will sell out, quote unquote, because it's free. You just have to like take a seat, basically. So if you're interested, when she posts all that, like follow the page, stay alert, and when it drops, register or you can't go.
Yes. That's awesome. I will for sure be there next year. I was so sad I wasn't able to make it happen this year, but I'm glad you got to go so you can come back and tell us all the things. And then something for just like bikini girls. Speaking of Atella, if she's ever judging you, get feedback from her because
Yes.
she gives amazing feedback. She will tell you in your pose, you need to do that. And the thing is, like, it's just so helpful. I'm not saying the other judges aren't helpful, but because she is a bikini Olympian, she's a top pro, she knows. So whenever I've gotten my feedback from her, I was never like, well, what does that mean? It's always very straight to the point, not an enigma. You know exactly what she means. So I love that she was there.
Yeah. And then like there were like they did all the women's divisions. So figure Sid Gillen did it. I think Sid did women's physique and bodybuilding. So if I'm not mistaken, she also teaches those
Yeah,
posings.
those ones.
But it was really cool. And it was cool because we were a little behind on time at that point to like catch up to the schedule. So they did women's physique and women's bodybuilding together, which was cool to see. The posing differences, because like they both do a front double bicep, they both do a side try, but it's different. So
Never thought about that.
that was interesting because I don't coach those ones, and half the time I'm running around during those divisions, so like I'm familiar with them. I've watched shows in the audience, but a lot of times I'm backstage with the wellness girls while women's bodybuilding's on the stage. So it was cool to see it from that aspect and like have it broken down a little bit.
That's cool. Very cool. All right. So I don't have anything new on my end. You got anything going on with you?
No, I don't think so. Just still in the
No.
off season, still like Nelson, when can we prep? And he's like, shut up. So
Very good. Very good. Very good. All right, you guys. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to be talking about positives and hardships of bodybuilding. This is a great topic that Alexis came up with. We're going to start off with the positives first. So, Alexis, go ahead, kick it off.
So, I mean, like, I think the obvious One is everyone talks about the growth that they learn. The growth also comes from some of the hardships, but that's a positive that you get out of it. Even if you've only prepped one time, you definitely, and if you take the prep seriously that one time, you learn a lot about yourself that you didn't necessarily know prior to. This is a unique sport. We're doing an extreme to get to the stage. So if your schedule is a little weird and you are determined to get things in, you're waking up an hour, 2 hours earlier than you thought you could. That's not easy for most people. Like, especially if you're not a morning person, but it's like, I need to get my cardio done. This is the only time of the day that I'm going to have to do it. I need to make more time. Then you're going to do it. That's a big learning curve for a lot of people. Being regimented, doing the same thing every day, all of those things are not what typical people do. It's not what Americans do, especially. So I think one of the strengths is even going through a prep, coming out of it, even if you don't like competing as a whole, you've gained the, I didn't necessarily know that I could do that. You know, it's like another bump in your self-esteem on what you're capable of.
Absolutely. I was going to say confidence. When I was right, probably like around that 27, 28, that's when I was really starting to come into myself and confident building and whatnot. Because we all go through those phases, right? As far as just like having confidence in yourself, just being secure. And I say all the time to athletes, if you can get through a prep and get on stage, you can do anything. After my first show, I noticed an extreme rise in my confidence. So I was just kind of like, damn, like, there's really not much that's going to be as difficult as that. You know what I mean? Like, I understand, yes, there are hardships in life, but like Alexa said, like the scheduling, waking up, there are days where I was thinking to myself, how am I going to go to work, get an hour and a half of cardio done, and train? Well, guess what? You do it, you figure it out. So just that whole personal growth aspect of it and the confidence, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, you're tired when you're going through it, but after the fact and you look back, you're like, dang, man, I did that. And like regardless of what happened, like if it's your first prep or your 80th prep, like you're proud of yourself because it's hard.
Yes. You also are going to meet a bunch of people that you probably never would have met. I would not know Amber if it hadn't been for competing. I wouldn't have been at that show for that I competed at the first time unless I was on the stage. You know, like Kenley wasn't doing that show. Kenley, you like at that time was doing Virginia shows in Northern Virginia. He wasn't doing anything in Charlotte. We've come to learn now that it's actually closer and makes more sense, but at the time, like I didn't know Amber that day, but had I not been on that stage and she was like, I want to know more about bikini. And then she's just searching hashtags and finds me that I was there and like I look familiar and then it goes from there, you know? And that's happened a lot. And it's also like, and I even learned this when I was traveling this weekend, people recognize it, and then it's like you're also then spreading bodybuilding or at least spreading health. Like I was on my flight, my flight to Orlando. We live in a tiny area, so our local airport is small. Sometimes the layovers are in weird places. Like I went from Roanoke, Virginia to LaGuardia, New York, down
That was
to
weird.
Orlando, but it was Delta, and like Delta has a hub in LaGuardia, so that make like it makes sense for the airline. It's weird when you think about geographically why am I going up to go down? But I'm like I'm on the flight, and the guy I've got a window seat, and the guy beside me was like trying to make small talk, and I pull out chicken in a baggie, and he's like, "Are you a competitor?" I
No,
was
we'll give
like,
it away.
yeah, what gave it away? The chicken in the baggie. He was like, well, yeah, I saw the IFBB on your backpack and I wasn't sure if you were a pro until you turned around to get into the seat. And then you pulled out the chicken. So I figured you're probably an active competitor. And so then like we were talking and he was asking me about like where I was going and like how shows work, and we just kind of got onto that topic. And he, it turned into like, I don't think I'd ever get on stage, but I think I could do some of it. Like, the lifestyle sounds interesting. And then I'm just talking to him about like how to live healthy, you know? And normal people, if something doesn't stand out as different to them, you're not going to sit down by a stranger and be like, do you have an apple for breakfast? You know, right. Like, you're not going to bring up health. But if something stands out in that aspect, a lot of people want to know more and are afraid to bring it up, and they're not sure who to talk to. And I think we're, sometimes it can be annoying, I know, when that's like, it's like we're wearing a big thing on our forehead, ask me about meal prep. But it's also beneficial to them. So I don't know. That's something that I thought about, like, after the fact, after we had that conversation. I'm like, that man never would have asked me that had I not had that on my backpack, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's good perspective. I'm going to start looking at it like that because, you know, I'm human. Sometimes when I'm traveling, if I'm in prep or if it's just a lot going on, someone asks me, I'm just kind of like, oh, I don't feel like having a conversation. But at the same time, it's kind of like, it's a way to spread the health gospel, if you will, you know? So if you can tell the people who are genuinely curious and want to know more versus the people who are just trying to be a prick. If someone is genuinely curious and they want to know more, you know, just share a little, because you never know, you might inspire them to start their health journey. And then before you know it, like, their health is next level and they're in the best shape of their life. And there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And it's like, and they're seeing it in real life, you know, like, it's not like I came and I'm like, I better be on my plan because strangers might see me. I'm just doing what I do. Yeah. But from his, hopefully from like someone else's perspective, it's like, okay, like, they're traveling. That's kind of, that's a stressful event, especially if you don't get on planes that often, but it's still happening. Like, she's still doing the things she wants to do. Like, she's meeting her goals, what, however they take it. It's like, it's not that hard. It takes planning. Absolutely. And it takes adjustment for sure. Especially if you're like a normie, quote unquote, and then you try to go into something extreme, it's going to be different for sure, but it's totally doable.
Absolutely. So doable. Something else that I love too, since we're on the community aspect, is, I mean, it just goes back to what you said, how we met, is I love it whenever I am out at shows because I get to meet so many of you. It's always, for me, I'm always taken aback because I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm a regular girl. I'm living my life. Like, I just never, I say it all the time, I never expect for anybody to know me. And I guess I need to like kind of snap out of that. But it's funny because whenever I meet some of you, we share, you know, our journeys via social media. So it's like, I know you, but I don't know you, but I know you. And we chat in the DMs and we, you know, we hype each other up. So I think that's so funny because that's probably the most common comment where girls will say, I don't know you, but I feel like I know you. And I'm like, yeah, likewise. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know me.
What catches me more off guard is when people mention Oliver. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I tell him he's famous.
Yes. Yes. On shout out to Keisha. I met her over the Olympia. She's, I mean, this girl, she's beautiful. Miss Texas. She's like, I think she's like 6 foot, beautiful skin. She's a competitor. She competes in a different division, but she watches my YouTube content. And so she had posted on one of my most recent vlogs and I forgot, she said something. And then she goes, oh yeah, how did Target go? And she put the poop emoji because like a while ago, I said in one of my vlogs how whenever I go to Target, I just always have the urge to go to the bathroom. I think it's because I'm relaxed. And so the fact that she mentioned that, and I was like, dang, that vlog was like so long ago. So it's just like those little insider jokes like that is so funny.
Yes. And like this weekend, people are like, how is the off season going? I know it's not your favorite. And I'm like, I need to stop saying that.
They be listening. And then with the podcast, you know, like we talk about our little things or, you know, it's like, oh, did you kill your husband? I'm like, no, not yet. He's still with us. Amen. That's always fun. Something that I have is that's a positive, a major positive are the opportunities. And I know because I've spoken to quite a few competitors where they feel like, well, I'm not a coach. I don't do posing. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't have anything to offer into the bodybuilding space. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Just because you don't, quote unquote, have a job that is niched into the bodybuilding aspect doesn't mean that there's not opportunities. What you have to understand is you are your own entity and you are your personal brand. There is someone else out there that is like you that can relate to you. So therefore, you just sharing your journey, it's the opportunity to find your tribe and find your people, and you can help people and they can learn, you know, like Alexis, she's a nurse. I'm sure a lot of her nursing background does help her when it comes to bodybuilding. Now, obviously that's different from bodybuilding, but I'm sure it helps. And then her stage presence from her pageantry, that has helped a ton with her posing. Me being a hairstylist and makeup artist, being able to get into the bodybuilding industry. Don't feel like because you don't have a quote unquote bodybuilding job that there isn't an opportunity for you, because there is an opportunity for you. And I tell girls all the time, especially when you are a pro, use your platform for something that you're passionate about. Like, I don't care. Like Aurelia, I love her. She is a voice coach and she's a life coach. I'm like, do you know how many athletes could use some good life coaching? Because bodybuilding, it's hard on its own. And then when you start adding life struggles in the mix, it can make prep very hard. So it's just kind of like, yeah, you might not be a bodybuilding coach, but everybody needs somebody to talk to. So make sure that you are utilizing your platform properly, because there are opportunities for you out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I know, like, it can be, we also this weekend talked about like imposter syndrome, and almost mm-hmm. everyone has always had it except for Sid, but she's like an alien.
Yeah, she's not a real human.
No. But I had that too. Like, I was helping girls randomly, and Amber was like, you need to charge people for this. And I was like, no, I don't know it that well. I can't pose that well. And Amber's like, girl, you can teach it. Like, you can teach it. I know you can teach it. You've taught me, you've helped people. But it's like, it's definitely, and even sometimes still, it catches me off guard. Like, a real life event recently. So I'm doing a posing seminar in Alexandria next month. And they've been like putting out flyers of who's going to be there. And like, one, seeing my picture on it is weird, because it's like one of my Arnold photos. And I'm like, I'm with all the other girls that are going to be there too. But it's like, and I recognize those girls as being appropriate to be there. But then it's me, and I'm like, it's kind of weird. But then she made a post of the men, and there weren't as many men as women, but we know that like, men get their big heads and don't like to do stuff for free and give back. They like to be like, oh, I'm a pro now. How much are you paying me to do this? That's a whole other topic. But there's less men. So I suggested, like, so-and-so might be interested in teaching, and like, this person's a good poser. And she was like, yeah, on the flyers, though, we're trying to just keep the Olympians. And I was like, oh, that didn't occur to me at all, you know? Oh. And like, I get it. It's like, as an amateur looking up, it's like, it looks more prestigious. So it's a good marketing aspect. Like, it makes sense marketing wise. That didn't dawn on me at all. Like, I don't, that's not in the forefront of my brain. Like, I know I've been to the Olympia. I don't sit here like, you know? But it's also something that, like, when you're trying to move forward, if you want to be more active in the industry, you also have to be aware of your strengths. So even if it feels odd at first, it becomes a little bit more normal. I think, in my opinion, things should feel, it's not even always imposter syndrome, I guess, but it should be like, oh, wow. Like, it, things like that are like big accomplishments, in my opinion, should always feel like a little bit, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe I've gotten to this point. Because that's what kind of keeps you humble. Like, if you get to the point where you're like, nose to the sky, my poo doesn't stink, that's an issue.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I can't remember what gym we were at. I don't know. We were doing something, and I guess, I don't know if it was the owner or something. They were just talking. They were chatting it up. He was like, oh, do you train a lot? I was like, yeah, you know, I train regularly. And you're just being just very basic about it. And then Murillo looks at me and he looks at the guy. He goes, she's an IFBB bikini pro. And the guy's eyes get so big. He goes, oh, so you train more than a little, huh? I was like, yes. And Murillo's like, what is so hard for you? Like, he's like, what? I don't understand. He's like, because if it was me, I'd be out here like this. I'm like, yeah, boys.
Yeah. Boys. Well, yeah, I'm the same way. And like, when I did junior nationals, I was going to a massage guy like in Christiansburg, and he's not a bodybuilding massage guy. He just does good deep tissue. That's why I was going to him. And so he knew I was getting ready for a show because I was like, he doesn't do bodybuilding massage. So I was like, I want this at the end more for aesthetics. Like, I want you to break up the fascia. It's not for mobility. I'm not having training issues. I need the muscles to separate. And he understood that, and that's what he was doing. So then I come back after junior nationals. I'm still getting body work done more frequently than I typically would in the off season because I'm going into Tampa. Right. So I come back and he's like, have you had your show yet? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, so how did it go? And I was like, I won. And he's like, oh, that's great. He doesn't know anything about body. He doesn't know like the ins and outs of like how things work. Right. And he's like, so like, do you think you're ever going to try to get your pro card? And I was like, so I did at the show that I just won. And he's like, and then it's like this big deal. And I was like trying to avoid that. Cause I also hadn't like processed it completely myself, but it's like, I think there's a middle ground there where it's like, we shouldn't be like hidden, but we also like, don't hide your talents. You don't need to blast them, but there's a middle ground of being confident in what you can do and offering it to help other people.
Correct. Yes, yes, yes. That's definitely, that's something I have to work on big time. I struggle with that a lot.
Yeah, I'm not that great at it either. And I'm like, trying to figure out, because like the off season is when you have more brain energy. Like, I get all these ideas in prep of like, what things can I post on Instagram to help people and like, you know, content and stuff. But in prep, you don't have as much time or as much energy to do it. So it's like, it pops in my head at 9 a.m. and then at 4 when I have time, like, I'm not going through 14 outfits to show you what I just got. So so it's like the ideas are there, but the energy is not. And then the off season, the energy is there, but then it's like, I don't want to look stupid. And that's just true. So it's something that I'm working on too, because it's like, other people are like, you're fine. And when I see like, and I feel fluffy, you know, I don't like the off season body. I'm not as confident in it as I am when my abs are snatched 4 weeks into prep. So it's just, that's where my like mental weaknesses are. But then I see photos of myself. I'm like, I don't look bad. But then when I'm standing there in the clothes, I'm like, you know, so it's like, and that's probably a downside of being so critical of your physique all the time. Yeah. Is like, we were talking about it this weekend, like, and we've said it before, even in your worst off season, the one that you binged after show and you couldn't get it together and you went a month and that's like, you're trying to rewind and like get back on plan. Mm-hmm. That physique is still better than 90% of the population in our country. So you feel terrible about it. And like, you don't perceive it that way, but outside people do. And it's, that is something that comes along with the territory, is always being critical. And that's, I feel like almost every competitor has some form of body dysmorphia in prep and in off season. Everyone has which version of themselves they prefer, but then it's still like in the moment, in that version that you prefer, it's like, I could be better. That's always there. And it can be a push, but it also can be like, it also can prevent you from like enjoying that moment and being in that. Like, I look back at photos all the time in prep. I still do it where I'm like, I looked so good there and I didn't post this photo because I thought I looked bad. Like the ones that I took at the Olympia with Dilko, I'm just now posting them.
Yeah, I noticed. I'm like, girl, this
photo. Because I was looking at them and I'm like, oh, there's not enough tie-in in that one. Nope, I'm not posting that.
Meanwhile, ain't no one looking for the tie-in because just the overall photo itself is fire. It's just like, no one's looking for tie-ins if it's not a stage photo.
Right, but when you're 4 days out from show, you're just looking at like what's the condition? Like that's where we're like that's what all this the majority of the work is keep the muscle, get the condition, and then peak and get on stage. So like that's what was still in my brain. So then when I get the photos, I was like, then you look back and like that's just comes with it.
That is definitely a hardship of it. It doesn't matter how sharp you are mentally. I mean, that's one of my strengths. I don't struggle with the whole off season, how I look as far as like, oh, gaining body fat. But also, I know the reason why I don't struggle with that is because I've always been a skinny kid. So when you've always been a rail and you finally start to get some muscle and some body fat on you, like I feel like for the first time, I look like a grown woman. I ain't never looked like this in my life. Is it an adjustment? Yeah. But my thing is, like, my discomfort comes for me is when my clothes don't fit. When my clothes don't fit, when I'm lean, I'm pissed. My clothes started fitting me weird. I noticed like in October, but it's kind of like something that I had to remind myself was how you started at the beginning of prep, your body composition is always going to be different when you come out of it. So I noticed just kind of like my clothes are fitting me really weird. Like my shirts, like I can't get in. Like now it's like my shoulders. I've never had an issue with my shoulders before. It's always started with my lats. So I'm like, now my shoulders can't get into stuff. Now at the lower body, I'm just kind of like, okay, I guess I put on some quads because now like things are kind of tricky getting over my quads, getting over my glutes, but my waist is fine. And so that is what I struggle with because no matter where I'm at, if I'm in off season, if I'm lean, if my clothes don't fit, I'm pissed. I get annoyed. That is one of my struggles. But as far as just kind of like, oh, well, I don't feel this, I don't feel that. Like for me, when I'm lean, I can't see anything straight. I feel like I'm not good enough. I feel like I don't have enough muscle and I feel like they're not going to like my look. Those are the things that I'm going through. So I'm always trying to think, okay, well, what else can I do? How can I be better? I don't know. I can't see jack squat when I'm lean. Off season, like, yeah, cool. Y'all know I correlate it for me. It's more so of how I feel. And I think it's just simply because when you have a job where you have to put out so much output to make other people feel good, it's just hard for me to do that when I'm lean. And we all know, no matter what your job is, it's hard to do it when you're lean. Hell, that's a hardship right there, the energy. That is for me, that is the hardest thing in prep. It's not the hunger. Like Alexis and I have both passed that phase of, oh my God, we're hungry. You know what I mean? That's just part of the process. If I'm hungry, I can navigate that. I can go for a walk. I can go do something. But when my energy leaves and I gotta blow out hair, when my energy leaves and my mom is talking 85 miles a minute and she sounds like Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah in my head, that's my struggle.
Yeah, and I think like energy is a big one for a lot of people, and the perception kind of ties into that. So something that I wanted to like make a point on is you have to be very aware in prep, much more aware than like an average person who's dieting. One, this is not average. This is an extreme sport. So you are not, we're not trying to be healthy in prep by any means. It's not a healthy journey. If you are trying to get to your healthiest point, prep is not the way to do it. It's absolutely not. It's not a healthy way to diet. It's not a healthy way to lose fat. You cannot maintain the body fat to muscle body composition that you are once you get to stage. If you get there appropriately, it is absolutely not maintainable unless you want to run your body into the freaking concrete. In which case, I think, and I heard set from lots of amateurs this weekend, good stories, bad stories about their experiences in prep, what they're planning this year, what they're hoping will happen. But the ones that bothered me the most, and I think it's just an understanding aspect of what prep is it is not easy. I know that the pros, and especially the high level pros, tend to make it look easy, but they've been doing it for a long time and have figured out the best way to do it for themselves, and have also figured out complaining does absolutely nothing. So other than make you feel worse and make you want to fall off track even more. So they tend not to complain. They tend not to be open about this is the part that sucks. And it's like Amber and I know that we've definitely pulled back from it, but it's also, if we say it over and over and over, it seems like you're beating a dead horse. It doesn't get better each prep. The suck is still there. It's there. Mm-hmm. Like, you are still hungry. You still don't have energy. Every time you get lean, it happens again. Like, when we say that
you know what's coming,
we mean, when we say it gets easier, it means like the process gets easier. You aren't fighting your body as much to do the process, but it doesn't mean that the feels of the process aren't there.
And you know what to expect. I think that makes it a little bit easier too. At first, when you don't know anything, it's like, what? But now it's kind of like, all right, well, I know when I get about 4 weeks out, I'm going to start feeling like this.
Yeah. And it's like, you have to be aware that your calories will almost guaranteed get extremely low.
Yeah.
If you're not okay getting sub 1200 calories, maybe, like, and not every person's like that and not every prep is like that, but some preps will demand it, especially if you do this for a long time. So if you're not okay with doing that, do not prep. And you can be a bodybuilder without prepping.
Yes. Yes. And people always think, they're like, oh yeah, that it's better to start off with higher calories. Cause here's my thing. I am someone, I do get up there with my calories. I start off high, but just because you start off high doesn't mean you won't have to get low. Like, my calories last time, I believe, started off at like around 2,200. By peak week, I was at 1,100, y'all.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't even really matter what the number is, because the people who start out high and don't have to get quote unquote low, mm-hmm. they're still hungry, because it doesn't feel like 1700 calories to them.
Right.
It's like what it feels like to you with that being high for you still feels low because they started at 3000. Like,
absolutely.
And a lot of people ask me, how low does your food get? I don't ever list it because it doesn't matter. And if you only look at that number, you're going to make assumptions that are completely inaccurate. Just 100%. Like when people say to me, my coach had me at 1,100 calories going into my first show. Okay, well, where were you at when you started? Like, I don't know anything about the journey to get there. So, like, one, where did it start? Did you come to that coach eating 1,700? Like, I want to do a show. I want to do a show in 12 weeks.
Right.
Because if you did, girlfriend, you got to get low. Like, you didn't start out anywhere. You didn't give that person anywhere to move from. Hopefully they were honest and were like, okay, it's going to be hard. But a lot of you don't take what that hard actually means. It's still going to get extreme. So if you're already starting in an extreme spot and you want to go more extreme, that's why when I talk about my Arnold prep, I haven't calculated those calories. I'm kind of afraid of what it was before it started going up in peak week, because it got sketchy. Like, and if you looked at that plan, you would think that my coach was nuts. No, that's what it took. And when I told him, oh, it's okay.
Oh, hang on, Hold on, let me look.
Oliver can hear Amber's dogs. He thinks they're outside.
No.
You better get them, bud. You better tell them, dogs. I'm gonna go pee real quick.
Okay.
You wanna go out there?
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Don't even know where we left off at. My bad.
Oh, me either. Oh, I think it's just, oh, I was talking about the Arnold. But Nelson told me it's gonna get like it's gonna be crazy. And it was, but I signed up for it. So if you signed up for it and your coach got you there, it's not a bad coach.
No.
There's gonna be days that suck, and there's gonna be some outcomes that you're gonna come out of it with things that you didn't go into it with. And some of it might be a little bit of body dysmorphia. And for a lot of us, that is the case. And if it's severe for you, competing might not be what you want to be doing right now. Or you may need to take some time and address that and see, was it truly bodybuilding? Or was it already there a little and bodybuilding exacerbated and made it glow up? Because it's going to make you more critical. You're never going to look at food the same. You're going to look at it and think carb, protein, fat. Like, it's not going to be just, especially at first coming out of a show, it's not just going to be like, this is food. And that comes with time too. And not everyone needs to compete for a super long time. Not everyone has the same trajectory. Competing, I've had people say, like, competing took my life and now I don't have any kids. I'm like, okay,
Oh
well, like,
no.
girlfriend, it can suck you in, it can be addictive, but so can everything else. So, like, you still chose to do it. So, ultimately, like, there has to be some level of accountability, I guess. Like, and even like all the way through it. Your coach took away these carbs. Okay, you did hire that person. You did decide to follow their plan. And we say you need to be 100%. You still decided to eat or not eat. You still decided to do this. And did you research this person? Did you only sign up with them because they have good pros? Like, there's a lot of things that come into it. So, and like some of you have had very bad experiences with coaches, and that's very unfortunate, and that's very a true statement. But because they did X does not mean that the rest of the alphabet was also wrong.
That part.
And like you can have a coach that you've been with, and it's like ultimately it's time to move on and find a different person to lead you. And certainly, there's things that weren't working. That's why you're leaving that person. But you can also still be thankful for the things that they did do for you that were positive. And that's with any relationship. Like, I've had friendships that have ended, and I'm like, there were these good times, but then the negative ones ended up outweighing the bad in the end. And that's why we don't stay in communication anymore. And that's with anything in life. Like, all the things that we go over always end up tying back to anything in life. Like, you are an adult. There's a reason you can't compete in the NPC until you are 18.
For sure. For sure. I had mentioned in my most recent vlog that I posted about how this past prep, like, I didn't realize how long it was going to take me to basically recover and get myself back in the groove, and how I realized, especially with everything going on, she's like, I need to take a step back and take a break because that ish exhausted me. Like, when I tell you I gave it my everything, I gave it my everything, and I don't regret it one bit. Not one bit. I'm not upset about it. It was just, I had to be honest with myself. And it's like, you need to take a step back right now because you're tired, on top of like your life stressors. The reason why you're struggling with other things too, like in the gym and just trying to get yourself going again, is because you're still a little tired. And that's okay. But the thing is, when I went into the 2023 prep, Jay already told me what time it was. Our feedback all 22 was tighter, 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 tighter. And she told me from the jump, we're coming in peeled. You have to be conditioned down to the bone. And I heard her and I was like, yeah, okay. But as time started going on, You saw me in Pittsburgh. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna make it. I'm not gonna make it. This ain't it. And so, you know, you have to dig deeper. You have to do things you've never done before. And I don't regret any of that one bit. But it's just kind of like same thing with calories. Like my calories had to get the lowest they ever got. And I think what people fail to realize is you can have someone that's starting at 2,300. You can have someone starting at 2,000. You can have someone starting at 1,900. Guess what? A 300 calorie cut is still a 300 calorie cut, you know? So when people get so wrapped up, well, how low do you have to go? I don't know. But guess what? You kind of have to ask yourself, what's your goal? Do you need to be tighter? Do you need to come in feel like how I did? Well, then guess what? You're probably going to have to get low. And that's just what it is. Now, it's not a situation where was I hanging out at 1,100 calories for a month on end? No, it was for a very short period of time. It was probably like maybe like 2.5 weeks. That's fine. But don't, if you have a goal in mind, you have to understand that it is going to be hard. And that is definitely one of the hardships. You just have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is this what I want?
Yes. And
no, sir.
I've kind of like in the last couple minutes gone back and forth in my head on whether to say this, but I'm going to say it. It typically is coming from the younger generation. And I don't mean that in a negative light, but I do think that it's something that needs to be, you need to be more aware of if you are in that younger, if you are 22, 23, trying to compete now, you were raised differently than we were. And it's generations change and how parenting is changes, how society is changes. And I would say society right now is all about comfort, especially in America. And Americans don't want to be uncomfortable. And that is a detriment when it comes to bodybuilding because it's all about leaning into the suck. It's the other side of that coin. And it's not like when I was like the participation trophies.
Oh,
this is controversial. Came in as I was growing up. So like, when I'm in middle school, early high school, and like parks and rec teams are starting to give everyone gets a trophy, we didn't put those trophies up. Cause like my grandma was like, you didn't win.
Yeah.
I don't know why you got there. And that was their, like, that was their perspective where it's like a lot of people now, and like to an extent is true, did you do your best? But that's like a spectrum, right? Did you do your best? You can say yes. Did you actually? Probably not. We can always be better. So it's like, that's why it used to be very black and white, win or lose. And now there's a lot of gray area and a lot of things. And there's a lot of the, oh, well, she was this and she won, or she shouldn't have won. I should have gotten this. And it's like, that one is one of my biggest pet peeves post show, whether a coach or an athlete is doing it. But two, you have to recognize one, where are your weaknesses? What were things that you experienced in life that others didn't, or vice versa? They experienced this and you did not. So they might have a leg up. You might have to recognize, I didn't learn that. I need to learn it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to move you forward. And ultimately, well, there's only one winner. Second place is the first loser. And it's a sucky place to be, y'all. It's not only like, I could probably say getting second place a couple times probably sucked more than not being in the top 10 at the Olympia. Because at the Olympia, I placed 13th. I'm very happy that I placed. A lot of girls did not place. And to me, it's like when Sandy moved me to the outside of that second call out, I was like, got it. I'm far off. I'm far off from where I need to be. When you barely miss it, it's like racking your brain. And sometimes there's not a one answer. And I think a lot of people, especially within the generation that I was just talking about, want an answer. And sometimes there's not one. Sometimes things in general life happen and it's like, how did that just happen and why? And you don't get the answer ever. Sometimes you get it 10 years later and you're like, oh, maybe this is why that happened. And sometimes you just don't get one. And sometimes it's like there has to be a winner.
Yeah.
And it was you or you, and we picked X instead of Y.
Yeah.
And that's what it was for today.
Someone was better than you that day.
Right. And it's like there's not always a clear answer, and sometimes the answer is not what you want. And sometimes you think you did better than you did, but you didn't. And it's like, it's right in front of you. And I think that that's just something that, and it's not, again, not to be like, this is your fault. It's not, but it's something to be aware of. That it's like, I think that that can hinder when it comes to bodybuilding. If you're not used to being uncomfortable and then you dive into this sport, you have to be, or you will not be successful. It's not, that's not a debatable comment. It has to be hard.
Yeah. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah. And they're not. And when you tell them what you're doing, they're like, oh,
what?
And they do that for a reason.
Yeah. They're like, I could never. And I'm like, yeah, and I don't want you to do it because it ain't for everybody. I remember when I was coaching gymnastics. That's what I did before I even got into beauty. And it was like the end of the term or something. And it was like award time. And a parent pulled me to the side and was like, hey, Miss Amber, you know, how come so-and-so didn't get a trophy? And me being who I am, I said, oh, because they didn't win. Of course I got in trouble for this. But y'all, I'm from a small southern old school town. I have very humble beginnings. To me, I could not wrap my head around the thought of giving this kid a trophy if they didn't win.
Because they signed up. Yeah.
I'm like, what?
And that makes zero sense. Might have different perspectives than that, which is totally fine. But also be aware that that doesn't matter to an extent. Like,
and it's,
you can see it differently, but if this is how things are, you could try to change it. It's probably not going to.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so it's like some of you have to be able to mold some if you want to do something. Everything's not going to go your way.
It gives them a false representation of life and setting them up for failure. If you keep getting trophies when you didn't win, then you finally get to college and you get to that professor who's like, I don't give a F, or you go try to get that interview. You're like, yeah, you're not good enough. Those are the people that tend to spiral and like lose their mind. And again, this is not a generalized statement. And I'm not saying this is what it is. This is just from my personal experience, how I grew up, how I know Alexis has grown up, how I know my husband has grown up. I have found that people who tend to have had a little bit of a harder upbringing, they are able to lean into the suck a little bit more. Just simply because, let's face it, when you've had those hardships, it does make you Teflon. It does. It makes you solid as a rock. Now, I'm not saying that I don't want you to have to go through any of that. Like, the way that I put it is, like, I think about it for me, like, with my kids. Like, yes, my future is, yes, we've had hard times, both of us. However, do I want my kids to go through that? No. Do I want someone else to go through that? No. So it's kind of almost like that slippery slope of balance, you know what I mean? And this is something that I've talked about with one of my friends. She experienced it with her boys because her husband had very rough beginnings and she was just, you know, middle class. And so she's like, we struggle with the boys because she's like, I don't want my boys to be an asshole, but yet my husband's trying to overcompensate for what he didn't have. She's like, but we can't have assholes. And essentially that's what it is. Like some people have these parents that have just basically told them, oh, even if you suck, you're still a winner. And yes, to your parents, you're always going to be a winner. But in the real world, if you suck, you're not winning, baby. And that's just what it is.
Yeah. And so like, and everyone's parents had a different way of how they approached it, and not necessarily any of them were wrong, but it's now your job as an adult to decipher what do I want? And the way I do things now in the way that I was taught, is that going to get me there? Do I need to change some of my actions and the way that I approach things, you know? And I think that's also important to take into consideration. Like, we are getting so off to the left, but like,
that's all right.
Me and Kenley grew up differently, but his parents could have given him everything, and they gave him enough to where he wasn't uncomfortable. But they also taught him the lessons that they learned in order to get where they were at. So like, there, like, nothing was always sprinkled in. You didn't always have everything. Mm-hmm. You still had to buy a beater truck and, like, it broke down and stuff, you know? Yep. Whereas there's other, and I get that side too. It's like, you don't want your kids walk in the neighborhood of the crackheads. Like, my,
right.
We're not doing right. that. Did I learn some stuff from it? Yeah. Can I teach you without living next to crackheads? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. There were different ways to address things, and you all learned things that we didn't learn in back and forth. But now it's your job to now, like, what do I want? And what I'm used to, is it going to get me there? Probably not. What I was used to wasn't going to get me there. What you're used to is probably not going to get you there, especially in this sport.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's a benefit. Yep. You're learning different perspectives of things. You're learning lessons. Like, I can so much better manage the stress at work because of bodybuilding. Like, when things are going haywire, I'm like, does this suck? Is this 12-hour shift wanting me to, like, like, hide in the corner? Absolutely. But it's only 12 hours. And I've been hungry for weeks on end. So, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I can do this because I did that.
Absolutely. Yep. Like, whenever I'm having my moment, I'll text Lex because I'm like, I'm hungry, but it's okay because I can do anything for 8 more weeks. It's okay. I'm fine. Or I'm like, I'm tired today. I won't be tired tomorrow. Because the thing is, like, it's okay to say these things, because I feel like Alexis and I are really good about this when we're in prep. She's like, I'm doing this cardio. I'm like, I know. I'm like, one more cardio session. Till you're closer to the goal. You can express these things. Expressing these things, sometimes you do need to just bitch, because we had a podcast on that. It's like, bitch, but still get it done. And that's our approach. It's not a, oh my God, this sucks. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, like, I'm on the stair stepper. I'm tired. I don't want to be there. I'm telling you, hey, I'm really tired, but guess what? It's still getting done.
Yes.
Got anything else? Oh, I had one more thing for a hardship. I'm sorry. Saying no to events. That is a hardship. You're going to have to miss some stuff. That's just what it is. You have to pick and choose. Some people, especially like around the summertime, because I know a lot of people like to go on vacation, and I get it. Yes, you need your vacation, need your fun time, but you have to understand that if you have a goal to get on stage and you were prepping during that time, you have to ask yourself, okay, if I want to go that badly, that means I need to bring my food. That means I need to make sure they have the appropriate cardio set up, the appropriate gym set up, so I can do what I need to do. Because can it be done? Yes. Will it be challenging? Yes. But if you want something that badly, you're going to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And that, like, brings me to a point that Sid made this weekend. Someone asked about that. And it's like, one, that's where you have to start. You're going to lose some people. If you're serious about bodybuilding and you do it for a long time, there's going to be people who pull back and stop inviting you to stuff that they know you're not going to come to, or they perceive you as not being enjoyable at because you won't drink or you won't eat the food or whatever. But you're going to pull people into your circle that support it. Whether they bodybuild or not, they're still going to support you. So you need to surround yourself with people who understand and support your goals. But then you also have checks to cash afterwards. So, like, you skipped your friend's baby shower, or you skipped a wedding shower or whatever. You skipped a family reunion. So now it's post-show. You're reversing. You're a couple weeks post-show. You feel better. Now you give back to those people.
Absolutely.
So, like, when we were like, I mentioned it there was a show like the week or 2 weeks after the Olympia that we had kind of contemplated, but going into the Olympia, in order to be the best that I could going into it, there were things I had to pull back on. And then, like, people didn't know that I was thinking about that show right after. And, Brandy asked me to help host her, gender reveal. The weekend that it fell on was the same weekend as the show. Did I need to do that show? No. Did it really make sense anyway? No, if I had said, no, I need to do the show, she wouldn't have fussed. But the benefit of doing it didn't
Right.
meet the give up more things for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense to take that 2 weeks of like reversing and getting heading into my off season made more sense. And also, yep. I'm not going to burn out my relationships. So like I've been in prep all year. These are the same friends when I said I'm doing the Arnold in 3 weeks, dropped everything, made plans, went up there and saw me. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, I had checks to cash. I have real life too. So I'm like, yes, we can do it. We'll do it at my house. I'll plan all the things. And it kind of gave me a little thing to like focus on at the end of prep going, you know, of like the little things of like decorations and stuff. So, and I liked that analogy of like your people are there to support you, but then you need to give it back. And that's relationships. So your energy is going to go down. Your libido is going to go down. That's really how she said it. Like you got to check to cash with your partner, but
yep.
But I really liked that because it's like they're doing the things you need them to do for you.
Yeah.
You do owe it back. You do owe
100%.
And it's not like it doesn't have to be in exactly the same way, but it does need to even out in life or you're going to lose that person. And then where are you at when you reach the top and you have
nobody?
Cameras. Like cameras are on you and that's it. It's not that fun. And like that is something that I try to like beat a dead horse about because I think it's worth it. I have had higher up pros and it's something that I'm navigating, but it's like you turn down this opportunity and it's like I've had enough photo shoots up until this point. And all these people are in town to cheer me on that I haven't seen for good reason because I'm getting ready for the show. But now it's after the show. Mm-hmm. And I want to visit with the people that drove 12 hours to see me on the stage for 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like there's balances with it. And I truly believe that that is what's gotten me to where I'm at now. And that will keep moving me forward. So people are going to have opinions on what you're doing and whether it's smart or not smart, and you're going to make bad decisions for sure.
Yeah.
But hopefully the good outweighs the bad and the reasons that you're doing it are positive.
Reach faster, come on. Beautiful.
All right. That's like I don't know what we call this podcast cuz
I mean, I feel like moments like that, though, are important. It's like, yes, you know, you want to do the whole corporate guys, this and that. But then, like, people listen to us because they like the real shit. So you get that and then you get the real stuff as well. All right. So, y'all, thank you so much for listening. This is episode 116. That's nuts.
That is crazy. I remember when we did 100 and we were like, and
116. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you are signing up with Alexis for your posing. I'm saying this because I'm actually speaking to myself because I have been extremely negligent. I got to get on it. Sign up with your posing with Alexis. Make sure you have a game plan as far as your stage glam, your hair, your makeup. Hit me up. And yeah, that's it. We'll chat with you guys next week.
Bye, guys.